more Operation Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600. Call Dave now at 822-1600. That's 734-822-1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 5 Eastern. I am very, very happy to have back with us and proud to have back with us Dr. Jane Hughes. Jane is a board-certified ophthalmologist and ophthalmologic surgeon and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. She graduated from the University of Iowa with a BA degree and received her medical degree from the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio, Texas. Dr. Hughes is co-founder and president of the Texas chapter of a great organization, Docs for Patient Care. I encourage you to go to their site. They have great up-to-date information on the latest with Obamacare and what and the latest for your healthcare freedoms. It's docs4patientcare.org. She also serves as a physician consultant for Physicians Council for Responsible Reform. Jane, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's just a pleasure to be with you. I always enjoy our little chats here on Operation Freedom.
Well, I do too, and so do our listeners. You and Chris Held get huge positive feedback after every time we do an interview, and folks always say that you and Chris provide information that they're not getting from anyone else in the mainstream media. So, Jane, a couple things. One of the problems that I encounter is when I speak about healthcare reform, I first speak about what's coming with Obamacare, and then I speak about what we all need to do to enhance our healthcare freedom, which is drastically different than Obamacare. But many people say to me, you know, Dave, the reason ultimately that you're not for Obamacare is because you're not open-minded and you're not a racist. I kid you not. Okay? I get this. I've got it hundreds of times. So, Jane, you are against Obamacare. I've known you to be an open-minded person and surely not a racist. So why are you against Obamacare, and how do you believe it will impact every American?
Well, I think every time you and I have been together, we have stressed the same initial point about Obamacare. Obamacare is the fundamental transformation of the relationship of the individual to the state or to government. And as such, it also takes over one-sixth of the private sector economy. And let's put this in sort of personal terms. We currently enjoy the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship and privileged communications. With Obamacare, we are moving towards a bureaucrat standing between you and your physician.
And not just one bureaucrat, thousands of them.
Thousands is right. Actually, if individuals understand what these insurance exchanges are, they are the ultimate data-gathering machines and intrusions into some of life's most intimate, private, and crucial events, and that is our medical care.
Jane, you mentioned bureaucrats. Back in 2009, when I identified that the main rationing boards and the enforcement boards were actually hidden in the stimulus bill, and that Obamacare was really nothing more than a rationing program, the most unethical and inhumane means of cutting healthcare costs, there was a senator who came after me with a pitchfork. His name was Max Baucus. He's a Democrat from Montana, who said that I was an evil person, that I was misrepresenting what Obamacare was about. And just was not very happy with me being honest. This week, Senator Max Baucus said the following. He feared a, quote, train wreck, end quote, as the Obama administration implements its signature healthcare law. This article in Health Watch states Baucus, the chairman of the chamber's powerful finance committee and a key architect of Obamacare, said, quote, I just see a huge train wreck coming down, he told Health and Human Services' wonderful secretary, Kathleen Sebelius. And he went on, you and I have discussed this many times, and I don't see any results yet, end quote. What a hypocrite, Jane.
Well, I think, first of all, let's go back and remember that they had to vote for it to see what was in it. And now that everyone is having a chance to see what's in it, it's appalling. We are, I think it's impossible to overstate the chaotic state that we are currently in as the administration and Kathleen Sebelius and the gang at Health and Human Services are trying to take this unwieldy piece of legislation and turn it into a healthcare system. Mm-hmm. It can't be done. You and I know it can't be done. Physicians across the country have said it cannot work, and they continue to try to implement it.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you speak about Kathleen Sebelius, because hardly anybody noticed this announcement in the past couple weeks, Jane, but she, in the just a wee little press release, announced that, well, you know how we plan on implementing those wonderful healthcare exchanges January 1st, 2014. In fact, we can't do that, and we're going to push them back to at least January 1st, 2015.
Very, very interesting. And I am sure, as we discussed the last time we were together, that Health and Human Services is probably freaking out, to use the expression, because 26 states are not doing the state exchanges. The small business exchange that they had planned, and that's what you're speaking of there, to get up and going, is nowhere near ready. And in fact, they were only able to offer one insurance product, and this was marketed as the, quote, insurance marketplace. One insurance product. That's why they've had to delay it.
It's huge. I mean, essentially what they've said is Obamacare is pushed back a year.
That is essentially what they've said, and yet it's interesting. I'm at the American Society of Cataract Refractive Surgery meeting here in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and ironically, the government session was right before lunchtime today.
Mm-hmm.
And during that session, it's quite interesting. The person that they had speak to us is an MD who's also an economist, and actually, literally, the hour and a half presentation was almost straight propaganda regarding the wonderful opportunities, and I use that in italics, for physicians to be involved in the implementation of Obamacare.
What a joke. So, okay, Jane, let's take this guy apart. First of all, where was he from?
I don't know exactly where he was from, but I do know that his background is with CMS, and he actually had some sort of advisory capacity during the late Bush administration and on into the early Obama administration. He's an MD economist, and it was quite interesting that everything that he said regarding Obamacare and the implementation was couched in the newspeak, so it made it sound like it was going to be a terrific opportunity for patients and doctors alike.
And I will make a wager. I'll bet you dinner, Jane, that this guy either has never taken care of a patient after his residency, if he did a residency, or hasn't taken care of a patient in 10 years.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about that. He's an internal medicine, I believe, is his specialty. But no, he's been involved, I know, at least in the last 10 years in healthcare policy. And, you know, the lesson that I took away from the meeting is that physician autonomy is definitely under attack,
mm-hmm.
and that our national surgical and medical organizations are misguided at best, or at worst, complicit in allowing the government and third-party payers to really define now the new terms and conditions of our profession, your mm-hmm. and my mm-hmm. profession.
So Jane, how long did this guy spoke for? Over an hour?
Yeah, he spoke for over an hour, and the major thrust of what he said, and he's been involved in the 10 national pilot projects for the accountable care organizations, and you and I have to discuss those before mm-hmm. we're through today, but his major thrust was how wonderful the accountable care organizations were going to be in reducing the cost of care and increasing the quality of care.
And Jane, how was he received by your colleagues?
Well, this is fascinating. People got up and left in droves. And actually, we took pictures of the auditorium, which is usually very full and well-attended. And it took a lot of true grit and fortitude, actually, to stay and listen the entire hour and 15 minutes of his talk. But the auditorium was literally almost empty by the time he finished.
And was he allowed? Was there a question-answer session allowed?
There was. Question-answer session allowed, and interestingly, the first speaker who was up was a physician who had been involved in the early, you know, capitated HMOs, which is what the accountable care organizations are. And we really do need to let our listeners know what those are, because they've heard the term ACOs, because that's a major component of Obamacare. And a lot of people don't have any idea really what they are. But the first fellow said he had been involved in some of the initial capitated HMOs, and they didn't work, which, of course...
That's shocking, Jane. That's shocking. Yeah. Let me sit down.
Yes. And then the usual response, of course, which is so laughable, was that, of course, those didn't work because they weren't implemented correctly.
Oh, my gosh. And let me ask you something. Who invited him to speak?
Well, actually, our governmental relations
people
that are hired.
Oh,
they are hired.
Sure.
Actually, he opened his speech by thanking them and telling the audience what a joy they were as individuals with whom he'd been working.
I wonder if that might have been John Roberts or some relative of John Roberts that was involved in it. So Jane, here another. So was there a counterpoint given to this dweeb and the hooey emanating out of his mouth? Was there a counterpoint? No.
No.
Was Rand Paul supposed to speak?
Actually, Rand Paul was supposed to speak, and then he couldn't make it work in his schedule, which was a huge disappointment. I was really waiting to see what he was going to have to say to the governmental relations people, considering his very conservative stance regarding government involvement in the practice of medicine. Unfortunately, he was not there. We had this person, and it was the exact opposite of what would have probably transpired if he'd been there.
And did anybody verbally take this guy on?
No, people were restrained. I think actually the individuals in the audience who were the most upset left.
Left, yeah.
And by the time the speech was over, I think most people thought it would be futile to even try to take him on. And then after the first question, which was really a statement by the fellow who'd been involved in the health maintenance organizations, I think people just thought, well, it's pointless. He's not going to, he's not going to give way on his thinking.
Jane, let's talk about accountable care organizations, because as they try, and I do think what's going to happen is they're going to be stripping more and more out of Obamacare, and we'll talk about some other things that have been stripped out of it, like the long-term care program and the pre-existing condition program, which supposedly was the hallmark of this. That's been stripped out now. The press won't report on that, but that's what's happened. Let's talk about accountable care organizations, because they give them this touchy-feely thing of, it's this mesh of providers and hospitals and networks and all working together and holding hands and singing kumbaya, but in fact, what are they, Jane?
Well, the accountable care organizations are the prime reason that when I talk about Obamacare, I say that it really presents the physician with a moral and ethically challenged position, and it's because of the accountable care organizations and the distortions. What they are health maintenance organizations that are capitated. Well, what is capitated?
Mm-hmm.
Capitated means that a lump sum of money is given to some entity. They now euphemistically call them medical homes. And that entity is supposed to take care of X number of people given that amount of money. So in essence, every time the doctor orders a test or sees a patient, that money comes out of the lump sum that goes to the group, the accountable care organization. And if the doctors save money for the Affordable Care Organization, they get to split it up. So there is a perverse incentive in withholding care to a certain point. It's the way that human nature is, because the more the doctor spends, the less the doctor takes home at the end of the day in the Accountable Care Organization. So as a physician, I could never enter into a contract like that. And frankly, I don't think that too many physicians could continue on in an environment like that.
So in other words, Jane, Obamacare, with these creations of these accountable care organizations, they are organizations that essentially reimburse us for not taking care of people.
That's exactly right. It's a very sinister step down a slippery slope.
And, you and I and every person in the medical profession took an oath to do no harm. Jane, that's harm.
that is harm. You can, of course, we can harm people by withholding care. And it's not that physicians start out with the intent of withholding care, but there is a subtle influence on every interaction. And that influence is to withhold care, because the bottom line is the bottom line. If you go over the cost, your salary is actually docked. There's punitive results for over-expending.
Yet they're holding seminars around the country. They just held a seminar here about a month ago in my neck of the woods, talking about how great accountable care organizations are.
Well, I think they have to propagandize it, because people, if they use the correct term, a health maintenance organization that's capitated, there wouldn't be too many people that would be signing up. And the very ironic thing about this governmental relations talk was the talk right before it was one of the finest talks I've heard recently. It was called Science and Medicine, mm-hmm. and the entire talk was dealing with the intricacies of the doctor-patient relationship mm-hmm. and how to better match the physician's mindset to that of his or her patient to come to the correct joint decisions regarding healthcare. In other words, highly personalized, individualized approaches to healthcare, which will be non-existent under Obamacare.
No, I think that's important. It's the exact opposite of what Obamacare is about. It's about yes. cookbook medicine, and the cookbook is created by bureaucrats that have no functional medical knowledge, that are taking that cookbook and hitting the patient over the head with it and hitting the provider over the head with it. And if the provider or the patient and or patient don't go along with the governmental cookbook, you will be penalized. You could well be fined. And in some significant instances, you could well be, if you're a provider, imprisoned.
Well, you're absolutely correct there. There's a whole series of what they call carrots and sticks, and they're punitive measures that are taken against physicians who are non-compliant. But let's take it one step further. With the Independent Payment Advisory Board, mm-hmm. it's not only just following the cookbook medicine that's problematic. Mm-hmm. It's deciding who gets care and who does not get care. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at the comparative effectiveness research of Ezekiel Emanuel, one of the authors of Obamacare, you see that individuals under the age of 15 and over the age of 59 are persona non grata in terms of allocation of health care dollars. This is the exact opposite of what we currently enjoy in America, and that's where each individual has value and worth and dignity as an individual.
And we lose that with Obamacare.
We lose that with Obamacare. It is a tragedy. It's a tragedy that we are watching unfold, and that's why physicians like you and me, even though it appears like we might be banging our head against a brick wall, continue to try to fight to educate the man on the street and to get our colleagues, our boots-on-the-ground practicing physicians, to realize that this is a cause like no other that is worth fighting for every day until we can repeal this and we can get our patients to stand with us in resisting this.
And my contention, and I know your contention, Jane, has been once you strip someone of their health care freedom, you take control of their entire life, every aspect of their life.
Well, you do, and when people see the 61-page form, that's the application form for the health care exchanges that includes their bank routing check numbers and their paycheck stubs and intimate health care information, they're going to see that they're forever transforming their relationship with five different federal government agencies that information is disseminated to, including the IRS.
That's right. In fact, the enforcement arm of Obamacare is really the IRS, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 15,000 new agents. And then let's not forget the navigators that are the recent hires, so that the people in California can understand that 61-page form.
And in fact, some of the hallmarks, as we touched on earlier in the interview, that the reason why Obamacare had to happen is because, well, there is a long-term care part of it where that would cover people for their long-term care, their nursing home care. That, in fact, was removed from Obamacare in January of this year.
Yeah, I think it was called the Class Act section of it. Yes, it was exposed for what it really was, which was a real Ponzi scheme. They were going to collect the payments, and then there was going to be a two-year, I believe it was, delay before any of the benefits were dispersed.
And in fact, their other hallmark part of Obamacare, the fact that insurance companies could not, or that were participating in Obamacare, could not deny coverage for pre-existing conditions. In fact, late at night on March 31st, they put the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced, dead of the night, that actually that money that they had allocated for the pre-existing conditions, they didn't have any. And
they ran out.
Yeah,
ran out of money.
Yeah, and in fact, that portion of Obamacare would no longer be in effect.
Well, my understanding was that they closed enrollment, but I do believe they have, I think it's 100,000 people maybe enrolled, and they're already out of the money that they had set aside. It was the bridge insurance. Mm-hmm. For those individuals who are uninsurable presently, they've had to close down the program and limit it to the people who are there, but I don't know how they're going to pay for that either.
Jane, what can each one of our listeners do to continue to fight Obamacare? Because our listeners have been on the front line of helping fight the defeat of Obamacare.
If you're in a state where your governor has decided not to set up the state exchanges, write a letter thanking the governor for doing that, stay on top of it. If you're in a state where there hasn't been a decision made on the expansion of Medicaid, which is another march towards a single-payer system, put pressure on your state legislators to resist the expansion of Medicaid.
Jane, I'd like to thank you for everything that you do to enhance and empower every person in our country when it comes to their health care. Folks, you can follow Jane Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S. You can go to Twitter. I also encourage you to go to a website that that she frequents and supports, AmericanDoctors4Truth.org. Folks, you've been listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janda. We broadcast live from WAMTIC Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 5 Eastern. Until next week, dream big and dare to fail.